this journey with you. Love you all so dearly. Love the worship. I love God's word, don't you? Love being around God's people. I love church just so we can hang out and be together and be the church. Today, as we go through Jesus University, we'll talk about the house of God. The house of God. Several years ago, and I'm not a big parade watcher, so I heard this story. Darla loves parades. She used to march in parades. I don't know if some of y'all knew that or not, but she was a baton girl, so she was in many parades. But she loves parades, Macy's Parade, but this was the Rose Bowl Parade. Some call it the Tournament of Roses Parade. And right in the middle of the parade, the float sputtered and died. It ran out of gas. You would think, wouldn't you? So now this float is out of gas, and the entire, now you didn't hear this on television, but the entire parade was at a standstill, those that were behind this float, until somebody ran to get a can of gas. I think that's kind of funny in a way, don't you? You know what's funny about it? You know whose float it was? Standard Oil Company. With all their vast resources, they were out of gas. And to me, that truck that was carrying that float can describe a lot of Christians. Ooh. They have vast resources in Christ, but they often find themselves in day-to-day living out of gas. Look to your neighbor and say, are you out of gas? You look back and say, I sure do hope so. I mean, or this is not a men's retreat. See, we need to be running on full, not empty. That's why we need to be filled up every day. Because we leak. We burn fuel. Spiritual fuel, mental fuel, emotional fuel, physical fuel. Jesus doesn't want us to live our Christian walk on empty or out of gas. He's made a way so that we can live full on a daily basis. See, we need to know what it means to be in Christ and for Christ to be in us. This is not a complicated series or a complicated message. It's just basic Bible. We're going to talk about the house of God this morning. Oh, and we could call this church building the house of God. But that's not what I'm talking about this morning. I want to use Jesus. Jesus is really the house. You came to this house this morning, but you won't find peace unless you come into the house, and His name is Jesus Christ. And Jesus has called everybody to Himself. He said, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and yoke in with me, and I'll give you rest for your soul. So we come to the house. When we come to Jesus, Jesus is the house. You can be in the house, and Jesus can be in you. There's no place like home. Is it? There's no place like home. Make Jesus your home this morning. Some of you may not know who He is. He knows you. Make Him your home this morning. We're going to read a scripture you're very familiar with in Matthew 3:13. It's strange in a way. John the Baptist was baptizing in the Jordan. Who knows, maybe hundreds by now. And my verse just disappeared. Oh, came back. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. And I don't know, I'm not sure that I wouldn't have responded like John. Because John was preparing the way for Jesus, and now Jesus is coming to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? Jesus replied, "Let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness." Then John consented. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water, and at that moment, heaven was open, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son whom I love. With him I am well pleased." This is a beautiful picture. And am I a little loud or echoey out there? Is it my I am, aren't I? I need maybe the monitor's down a little bit and maybe me down a little bit till I start shouting. It's a beautiful picture. Why did Jesus need to be baptized? I think John, I would have had the same question. Well, Jesus has gone before us in every facet of our lives. It's important when God the Father sent His Son to earth, God the Father sent His Son to earth so that whoever would believe would not perish but have everlasting life. But He sent God His Son, all God, and in human form so that we could identify with Him and through Him identify with God. And that's really what we're going to talk about all day today. And we see the simple concept here that is still really a deep concept, but yet simple, of water baptism. If you're going to make Jesus your home, there's something that's going to change inside of you. The water baptism is a symbol, and I may repeat this, of I was standing in the world. When I go under the water, I am dying with Christ. And when I come out of the water, I am being raised with Christ. When you are born again and you've asked Jesus Christ into your heart, that's what happens in here. It's the real deal. And water baptism is to follow that command as Jesus commanded us to do when you've had that experience. So now, Jesus didn't need to be saved. Somebody say amen to that. So we ask ourselves what the purpose was. And that was so that He could show us, the term I'm using today, that He's our house. In fact, you see that context 200 times in the New Testament. God the Father is pleased with God the Son. Jesus, listen, in and of ourselves, God isn't pleased with us at all. It's through Christ that the Father finds pleasure in us and we find pleasure in Him. And when Christ is alive in us, God is pleased. Well, let's look what it means, and we'll do about 3 points. To come into the house, and remember that we're using house as a symbol for Jesus, you must come to the altar. You have to make a move from the world into the water. Now, it's not that the Holy Spirit won't draw you and convict you. God will always do His part. The Lord is always at work. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Now, there's all kinds of types in the Old Testament, but the tabernacle and the temple were laid out the same way. Before you could go into the outer room where the candlestick was and the table shoe bread was and the altar of incense, you had to go to an altar, the priest, before he could go into the temple. And then the high priest would go where? Behind the veil into the Holy of Holies once a year to make atonement for all the people. And he'd take the blood from the altar and sprinkle it on the mercy seat in the Holy of Holies so people would have redemption or forgiveness of their sins. And I'm just keeping that tight. I hope I don't keep it too tight. But in order to, and the mercy seat's symbolic of Christ. That's where the blood was sprinkled on top of the Ark of the Covenant. Jesus is calling us to come to the house, to come into the salvation. The only way to come is through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. You can't come in your own merit. You can't come in your own deeds, even good deeds. God does not accept anything except the sprinkled blood of Jesus Christ. The Scripture says that the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. You have to come through Christ. the finished work of Christ. You've got to be willing to put the world behind you and all the sin behind you and come to the house. You can't just walk into Jesus. You've got to have an altar in your heart. In those days, it was a big stone altar and the fire burned 24 hours. Look, you can come to Jesus anytime. Isn't that the good news? But you've got to bring a sacrifice of your own heart. The Scripture says heart, soul, mind, and strength. If you're going to be saved and know Christ, you need to be forgiven of your sins. But church, after you're saved, we don't quit coming to the house, do we? We don't quit coming to the house of God, the church building, because we're the church. The church building is just brick and mortar. The church is made up of people who have the house Jesus Christ living in them, and we are together and collectively a living, breathing, Holy Spirit-filled organism. It's a thing called the church. But now, when we get saved, it's important to come to Jesus every day, isn't it? You've got to come to the house. And I'm impressed, 80, 90% of devotions, that Bible reading's looking good. You may have served the Lord 6 months, 1 month, 6 years, 30 years, still the only way to come into the presence of God, still the only way to know Jesus Christ and God the Father and the Holy Spirit on a daily basis is we have to come through the blood. In 2 years from now, we all in this building, wherever we are in our walk, should be more like Christ and more less like ourselves. That's what happens as we walk with Jesus. But don't think for a moment because you got 50% of it right or 70% of it right. Or maybe you had a good day and got 100% of it right. The next morning, we can only come through the blood of Jesus Christ to God the Father. The next morning, we only get to come and walk in relationship with God because of His mercy, because of His grace, and because of His shed blood. We can't just walk up to God in our own strength, even our religious strength. There's always got to be an altar. And an altar is where we die every day so that we can live every day. We all have a tendency to be Pharisees. Me too. The flesh has those tendencies. The Pharisees, a lot of those guys were really good, God-loving guys. They just wouldn't come through the blood. They felt that they had grown in knowledge and known the Lord so long, they could just walk to the house. And they were wrong. And they missed Christ altogether. Look, I say this all the time. There's never going to be a day, not one day, you don't need the grace of Jesus Christ. Jesus is telling us to come to the house and come to the altar. Make an altar in your life. Make a time to be with Christ every day. But remember, we come because of the sprinkled blood of Jesus Christ. And when we do, our life is changed. And listen, not a remedied life or an improved life. Now, Jesus has a lot of remedies, don't get me wrong. And when you're walking with Christ, you will improve. But my remedied life and my improved life means nothing. It's not our life at all. It's not our badness nor our goodness at all. It's only through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Man, that's a truth. Hallelujah. See, when God the Father sees the Son, He sees the blood. And when I'm under that blood covering, God doesn't see old ugly inside and out Dale. God sees His Son, Jesus Christ. That's good news. That's really good news. Well, but on the other hand, I'm sure we were all perfect all week. Oh, nor was I. I'm glad God the Father sees the blood of Jesus Christ when He sees me. You don't hear people preach about the blood so much. And I don't understand why, because the Scripture clearly says that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. Jesus Christ shed His blood so that we could be forgiven and redeemed. Once and all for eternity, and every day for eternity. So in order to come to the house, you've got to come to an altar. Number two, in order to come to Jesus, and these are just, again, simple concepts, there has to be a Jordan River. There has to be a Jordan, because it's in this river, and I started with a small text, it's in this river that He identifies with us, like we read, and we identify with Him, like we're going to read in Romans chapter 6, verse 5. And it describes what happens when we go in the water. And a little more than that, actually. For if we've been united with Him, meaning Jesus, in a death like His, we will certainly also be united with Him in a resurrection like His. Can somebody say hallelujah? Because we're going to get to resurrection here in a minute. For we know that our old self was crucified with Him, so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. Woo! Let's say I'm no longer slave to sin. We'll talk about that. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we will be alive with Him, or that we will live with Him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, He cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over Him. The death He died to sin once and for all. But the life He lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Let's read a little more. This is victory scripture right here. This should be reality in our life if we've come to the house, Jesus Christ. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer any part of yourself to sin as an instrument of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought to death to life. And offer every part of yourself to Him as an instrument of righteousness. For sin shall no longer be your master, because you're not under the law, you're not under the grace. It is not the will of God for sin to be the master of our life. Sin will beat you to a pulp. Sin will take you down the tubes. Sin will ultimately take you to hell if you don't deal with it. But it maims, it wounds, it controls. Jesus has made a way so that we can no longer be slaves to sin or fear or judgment because of what Christ did at Calvary. Come on now, because we all deserve the judgment of God. And God sent His Son Jesus so that we don't have to. Look, I no longer am a slave to sin. I'll tell you, when we get to that, I am a child of God. I just want to shout it. And I sometimes do. I don't know if y'all hear me. You probably do. I am a child of God. I am a child of God. I am a child of God. What about you? To think through the blood we're children of Almighty God is mind-blowing. It never gets old. Somebody needs to shout, I am a child of God. Dear Lord. In verse 11, it says, count yourselves dead to sin. We're talking about the Jordan here. King James says, reckon. You know, I didn't know old King Jimmy was raised in Western Kentucky. Reckon? In the Greek, it's an accounting term. It's usually used in accounting context. And it really means something like this. 2 + 2 = It's not a trick. 2 + 2 = okay, I was hoping y'all knew that. You were a little wimpy with me there for a moment. So you reckon 2 plus 2 is?
4.
One of them said 5. Get your calculators out. And he's talking, he's not talking about a sin here. Although we need to repent of sins we commit daily and even confess those sins before God, and he's faithful and just to forgive us. But he's not talking about a sin or dozens of sins or a list of sin. He's talking about us. He's talking about our flesh and our sin nature. So from God's standpoint, when Jesus stepped in the room, he was trying to show us that what he was going to do for us, and now what he did for us at Calvary, has all already been done. Everything we read in Romans chapter 6 there was past tense. I have died with Christ. My sin and my sin nature was buried with him in the Jordan River. Somebody say amen. It's past tense. And learning that simple principle, when tempter comes and say, tempter, I'm dead. I died with Jesus at Calvary. I dipped with him in the Jordan. I know we're still in these containers, but if you've asked Jesus Christ in your heart, you have been crucified. Your sin has died. And not just your sin nature. Who you are is dead with Jesus. That's good news. It's called the power of a daily cross in your marriages. And I'm always all about marriages being better, mine included. Be the first person to the cross when you have your little squabbles, and all of you do. Die to you for that spouse. That's what we have done when we come to Christ. It's, look, reckon it so. Jesus went to Calvary and died. He shed his blood. He was dead 3 days. He went to the tomb, and I was right there with him. Hallelujah! We have died. It's settled. It's fixed. Now stay with me. The Holy Spirit, when you live that way, will make that a reality in your spirit, and you will become more fruitful and live in victory on a more regular pace, regular time frames. And because why? Not because of anything I've done. It's a position God has already taken in his Son, Jesus Christ. That's why on the cross Jesus said, it is finished. The high priest didn't have to go in the tabernacle in the inner sanctuary once a year any longer, because we read it earlier too. Jesus Christ went to Calvary, shed his blood once and for all, and it is finished. And when you invite him in or walk with him after all these years, reckon yourself dead. It's done. 2 plus 2 equals 4. Jesus plus the cross equals I'm dead there too. It's already happened. There's a story of a missionary in Brazil that had been trying to reach this native tribe actually for many, many years. And he had to actually go across a large river to get to the tribe. Well, the tribe got in bad condition and a famine broke out. And it was a simple disease if he could get them to medicine. He couldn't get the medicine to them, but the hospital was only a few miles from the other side of the river. And so he had learned to speak their language. And they were dying in droves. And he said, follow me across the river. The medicine is only a few miles on the other side of the river. Well, they would not get in the river Because for generations, they believed the river was possessed by evil spirits. And they believed if they immersed themselves in that river, that they would die. So the answer is just on the other side, but they're not going. So they're still dying. So the missionary wades in and says, you know, let's go. They wouldn't go. The missionary, one day he just tried splashing around waist deep. They wouldn't get in. They were terrified. And they're still dying. So one day the missionary wades out waist deep, dives under the water, swims underwater all the way to the other side, jumps out at the bank and gets up on the other side and begins to cheer and praise Jesus. He had made it. It was only then that the natives would dive into the river themselves, swim across the river, and go for medical help. Somebody had to identify with those natives in that country. That's what Jesus did. He stepped in. He dove in into the river of death. He was all in for you. Jesus loves you. He was all in for you. He paid every price, every penalty that belonged to you and me. He paid it. He jumped in the river and he come out on the other side victorious. And because he jumped in the river, we can jump in the river. Because he went to the grave, we can go to the grave. Because he went to the cross. I've already been to the cross, actually. And I can live in victory. And to not allow God to deal with us on a daily basis and shape our lives is not just to be disobedient. We talked about that in the men's group yesterday. It's to deny the position that Almighty God has taken for you. So jump in. Accept what Jesus Christ has done for you this morning. Please accept what the Lord Jesus Christ, come to the house. Yes, you've got to die, but I'll tell you what, when I had Christ, I was in the world. I was living in sin. I am in the water. I am standing with Christ. I am going under the water. I have died with Christ. And last but not least, I come out of the water because He came out of the tomb. I've been raised with Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. I've been forgiven. I've been set free. I've tasted and seen that the grace and the power of God is good. Resurrection. See, you can't be in the house, one, unless you come to an altar. You can't live in the house unless you reckon yourself dead on a daily basis. But you can't live in the house unless you experience and receive the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. I told you I'd get you to the good part. Although it's kind of good news to know that some of the junk in our life is dead, isn't it? At least I think it's good news for me. So the dove flew down. Remember that? It says like a dove. And God spoke. So something looked like a dove. We read in the scripture. So when Christ came out of the water, and some thinks he was immersed like this. It seems that the Jews in the first century usually dipped like this and came out. It doesn't matter as long as they were immersed. The dove land, and I know it was like a dove, but let me just say it that way. The dove lands on Jesus in bodily form. And we hear the voice of God the Father said, "This is my Son with whom I'm well pleased." I see it this way. David, can you come just a second? And just stand for a moment. God the Father, when Jesus came out of the water, which represents resurrection, came down with His hand. I believe it's a symbol of the hand of God. Came down with His hand and said, "With my Son, I am well pleased." This is my son with whom I'm well pleased. Whoa. It's even powerful just doing it, isn't it, David? We believe in the laying on of hands for healing and for, actually it's ordination and sending. The early church laid on, and even in the Old Testament, for kings to be anointed at kings, there was a laying on of hands and the anointing with oil. And you could study that all the way through. It's really good. Many times in the book of Acts, there would be the laying on of hands when they were being sent and their calling was being recognized and they were being sent to different places around the world. The early church, the laying on of hands was used for calling and sending. And but what it means, now get this, is when somebody puts their hand on your life, it's to place what happened that day in the Jordan, I believe. Jesus in resurrection symbolism. When the dove, the hand of God came on Jesus and they said, "This is my son with whom I well pleased." Now that was a blessing. Of course it was a blessing. But Jesus was putting his head and authority under the headship and the authority of Almighty God. Lord and Savior. I died with Christ. I'm raised with Christ. He's my Lord. He's my Savior. The dove has landed on all born-again believers. And you've experienced that new life. Make sure you keep your will under His will. Your way under His way. Your life guided by His Word. Jesus modeled this whole thing in the River Jordan. See, Jesus, and there was anointing that came with it. Jesus always submitted Himself to the will of the Father. You can read it over and over and over in the New Testament. In John 8:28, and I got to hit it real quick. So Jesus said, "When you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am He." And watch this. "That I do nothing on my own but speak just what the Father had taught me." Jesus was submitted to the Father as we should be. He would live under the same authority and have the... Look, you get people out here taking their authority that haven't submitted to their authority. You're not going to have a lot of authority in your revelation knowledge, in your word life, and in your prayer life unless you're being governed by the authority of Jesus Christ. But when you've died with Christ, and you have, and you've experienced the resurrection that you have, God has called, and Jesus called all His disciples to do what? Come and follow Me. That had to submit their life to a higher power named Jesus Christ. But when by His grace and the power of the Spirit, you live a life, and I said by His grace and His help and His power, you live under the authority. A heart that loves God. A heart that wants to live in the will of God. A heart that doesn't want our way, but His way. A heart that's under the governance and the anointing. I tell you what, all of a sudden you will have authority and you can take it and you can walk in it. Jesus never wanted us to live any way He wanted us to live. He wanted us to live like He wanted us to live. And it's the best way. Because He's the way and the true and the life. And when I'm walking in the house, and when I'm at home on a regular basis in Christ, and I've submitted my life to Him, the dove lands. And there's anointing to be somebody I could never be on my own because I'm under the authority. Therefore, and that's what happened because Jesus was submitted to the authority of the Father. And I'm teaching you a little bit here. In Colossians 1:15, look who Jesus is and was and is to come. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in Him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through Him and for Him. He is before all things, and in Him hold all things together. Jesus has all authority. Somebody say hallelujah. And when I'm walking in resurrection life, it's not for the glory of Dale. It's for the glory of God. It's for the glory of Jesus. That's why we serve. That's why we do. That's why we live. That's why we move forward. That's why we change. It's all for the glory of Jesus Christ. That's why with His help, we live what we believe. We behave what we believe. Because it's all for the glory of Jesus Christ. Christ. You died with Christ. You've been raised to Christ. You've got a brand new life. Now live that new life. Live that new life submitted to the governance of Almighty God. His hand is upon your life. Give your life to Him, and you will be amazed at what happens in your life. You'll be amazed at how you impact others' lives, because you will be walking in the God-given authority that's given to God's believers in Jesus Christ. You'll be walking in His authority and not your authority. And when you're walking in His authority, demons have to flee. When you're walking in His authority, people are start getting saved around you. When you walk in His authority, the Scripture says you can say to this mountain, move, and it will move in Jesus' name. If you have faith of a mustard seed even. Who's governing your life? Are you being governed by Jesus? Does He have supremacy in your life? So I rise not only in Christ, but also under His headship. Jesus governed my heart. Jesus governed my mind. Jesus governed my body. Over and over the Scriptures taught, do not give the parts of your body. Govern my body. Christ is our government. Christ is our head. Hallelujah. I'm no longer slave to sin. I am a child of God. I no longer slave to fear. I am a child of God. Sing the chorus for me, Tyler. Sing it loud where we can follow you. And y'all make your way up here. We're going to have communion. Sing it. Help me. Let's sing with her. Come on. As the ushers come. Now lead us in the verse.